Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there today, open it up to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And this chapter, as many of you know, is called the Roll Call of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of Faith. And there's a listing here of many of the great patrons of the Old Testament, many of the great saints of the Old Testament who stepped out in great faith and were marked by the Lord to do great and mighty things, and they followed through and were obedient to His call on their life. And that is God's will for you, my beloved. Those of you listening to me today, that is God's will, that you move out into whatever God is calling you to do, that you step forward and exercise your faith in whatever arena or whatever avenue God is calling you, and that you use that faith to bring glory and honor to God and to build the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, that thy will be done on earth as it has already been declared in heaven. And so we're going to look at faith and how you can expand and enlarge your faith and exercise it and use it to bring glory and honor to God in your life. And in the same way, and by the same token, it will reward you. You will receive the blessing. You will receive the encouragement and the strengthening when you exercise that little measure of faith that you have. Well, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, the verse 1 is the one I want to focus on here to start. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, tells us that faith is a substance, that you can actually measure it, that it has a measurable quality about it. And Jesus confirms that in Matthew 17:19, when the disciples brought a young lad to him who the disciples could not deliver from this demonic bondage that he has. And the disciples came to Jesus privately, verse 19, and said, "Why could we not move this demon out? Why couldn't we break the bondage off of this young lad?" And Jesus said in verse 20, He said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So if you have ever planted mustard, if you've ever planted turnips or any vegetables of that mustard family, you know that seed is exceedingly small. It's about the size of a big pen dot on a page, a little black dot on a page. That's about the size of a mustard seed. And Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that would be a measurable quantity of faith. If you have faith of a mustard seed, Jesus said, you would be able to speak to that mountain and say to that mountain, "Mountain, move from here to there," and that mountain will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Well, I don't believe Jesus was speaking about trying to move the Rocky Mountains. I don't think there's much point in doing that. You have to appreciate them for where they are and what they are and leave them alone. But I believe Jesus was speaking about the mountains in our life, those mountains that become obstacles in our life that keep us from moving forward in the kingdom of God, or keep us from moving forward in casting out demons or speaking against or rebuking the plans of the enemy in our life. And all of us have those bondages. All of us have those encumbrances, those things that the devil has placed in our path, or where he has attached to us, or he harasses us in certain ways or oppresses us in certain ways. And Jesus said, if you start speaking to those mountains, if you start exercising with that little mustard seed of faith and you start speaking to that mountain, I speak to that mountain of drug addiction, I speak to that mountain of meth amphetamine addiction, I speak to that mountain of alcohol addiction, I speak to that mountain of pornography addiction. If you start speaking to those mountains and rebuking the plans of the enemy and the agreements that you have made with the enemy, it is very important, beloved, to speak and to use your tongue and your mouth to speak against the devil's plans, to speak against discouragement and despair and depression. Some of you are listening to me today, you have a lot of despair and depression. You don't think God loves you. You don't think God cares about you. You don't know what His plan is for your life. You start speaking against depression. And instead of agreeing with the devil that you are a nothing and a nobody and you can't do anything for the kingdom of God, you start speaking against despair, you start speaking against depression, you start speaking against discouragement and confusion, and you start speaking blessings over your life and what God and Jesus have spoken over your life, and you start claiming the promises of God in your life, and you will see the will of God come forward in your life. You'll see that will of God made explicit or made clear in your life, and you will be able to move forward and claim territory for the kingdom of God. So that little measure of faith that you have, that little mustard seed of faith, every single person is given a measure of faith. You have to have a little bit of faith just to believe in God, and so you have to exercise that faith for salvation. You have to exercise that faith and believe God has a hope and a plan and a future for you. It is not to harm you, but is to prosper you. And you have to believe that God has already declared over you the plan that he has for your life. And if you start to believe these things and you start to speak those things in agreement with God, then you are exercising that little mustard seed of faith. And you can say to the mountains in your life, mountains move, the mountain of fear that keeps you from moving forward, the mountain of bondage of addictions or lust or pornography, when you start to speak against those mountains, God will move those mountains for you because he can do what is impossible for us, and it is nothing for him to move those mountains out of our life. But you have to get your will involved. You have to get your tongue involved. You have to get your passion involved and get behind it and just exercise that little measure of faith. And then you will see that nothing will be impossible for you. Well, the second part of that scripture is that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you have to believe for things that you have not seen with your natural eyes. You can't wait until you see it and then say, oh, yes, there it is, so now I have faith in it. That's not faith, beloved. That is just believing for what your natural eyes are seeing. Faith is believing for what you have not seen yet, that which is in the future, that which is coming to you or has been prophesied to you, or the Bible, God's Word, has spoken to you what God's will is for your life, and you start to move on that promise. You start to move on that will. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when you read God's Word and you hear God's Word, you listen to God's Word in the Scripture spoken over you through the prophetic Word spoken over you, or by sometimes worship music speaks God's Word into your heart. When you start hearing God's Word and you start believing it and you start agreeing with what God says about your life, Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Anybody who is in Christ is a new creation. And behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. When you start believing the things that God says about your life and quit believing the things that the devil says about your life, and you start agreeing with God's plan for your future and his plan for your kingdom walk, then your faith is going to be strengthened, your faith is going to be encouraged and enlarged and expanded, and you will do great and mighty works for the kingdom of God. And so it's just all about believing for things that you have not seen, and the more you do that, the more you exercise that faith and believe for things that you haven't seen, then God will bless you. He will strengthen and encourage you, and you will be amazed to see what God is going to do in your life. I can't tell you, beloved, how many times I've ordered plane tickets for Africa, and I have a pretty big budget to preach crusades over there in Africa. I've ordered plane tickets already this year, and I'm not even close, really, to having the money that I need to fulfill my obligations that I've already committed to over there. But God knows my heart. He knows what his plan is for me over there. He knows that I'm going to follow through, and I'm not waiting to order my plane tickets until I have the money in my hand. I order the tickets when the time is right to get the cheapest ticket, and I believe by faith that God is going to provide the rest, and I believe by faith that if I step out and go and believe that that which I have not seen is coming into me and is going to be added to me, that he will provide it, just as his word says that he will provide it, and that I will have everything, that God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He shall supply all of my needs to do what he has called me to do. And so that's faith. When you cross those bridges of faith in your life, you believe for something that you haven't seen yet, well, then you don't have to go back and keep crossing that bridge over and over and over. You have that faith in your holster, you might say. You have that faith in your pouch, and so you don't have to keep going back and crossing over that bridge over and over again. You already have crossed that bridge, and so that bridge then is part of your faith makeup. And so you can believe then for greater things. You can believe for things that you haven't seen that are even greater than what you believed for a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. God just keeps putting more and more things in front of you, and he will stretch your faith and ask you to stretch your faith so that you can believe for greater and mightier things as your kingdom walk goes higher and higher. Well, if you look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11, it tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this scripture makes it very clear that God expects us to exercise our faith, that he wants us to exercise our faith, that it is not pleasing to God when we just sit on our faith. And I would use the illustration here of, if somebody gave you the keys to a new pickup and it was sitting out there in your garage and you had that new pickup and you could walk out there and look at it every day and say, wow, that is really a nice pickup. It would be a great thing to get in this pickup and go do something with it, maybe haul some logs or haul some tree branches or something, use that bed to your best advantage. But if you never got in that truck, if you just went out there and looked at it and said, wow, isn't that a nice truck? If you never got in it and you never used it, then what good would the truck be to you? You might as well give the keys to somebody else and let them use it. And it's the same way with your faith. If you never use your faith and you never exercise your faith, then what good is it to you? What good is it to the kingdom of God? And that's what God is saying, is saying, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so if you want to please God, you have to exercise your faith. If you want to please him, you have to move forward in the open doors or through the open doors. You have to move forward through those open doors that God has called you to. And he will open doors. Every single person has open doors before them. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you today, but I know each and every person out there listening to me today, you have some open doors before you that God has opened. Maybe it's just to go visit somebody in a hospital, or visit somebody in a prison, or visit somebody who's sick that you know and you need to take some food to them. I don't know what God has for you. Maybe he's asking you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know about Jesus. Maybe he's asking you to send a letter to your grandchildren or to your children and give your testimony of how Jesus Christ came into your life and saved you and reconciled you back to God. I don't know what God has for you, but I know every single person listening to me today, God has opened up the door for you to stretch your faith, to step out, to get out of your comfort zone, and to stretch your faith and to see something happen in the kingdom of God that you don't see the result yet. You don't have the result in your hand, but you have been called to do something where the result will be seen in the future. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. In other words, you cannot waver. You cannot doubt about who God is. You cannot doubt about his promises. And this is why you need to be in the Word. This is why you need to be studying God's Word, so that you know what his promises are for your life. You know what his Word says, that he will strengthen you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. that if you seek him first in his righteousness, that all things shall be added unto you. There's 1,000 promises or more in God's word for you and for your life and for your walk. And so when you study God's word and you start to know his will, then the circumstances of your life will not deter you. It will not cause you to shrink away from God when some calamity comes. And there's always going to be calamity in your life and in the life of your family, your children, your friends. You're going to see people die that you're close to. You're going to see people get sick that you're close to. You're going to see people get drug addicted that you're close to. You're going to see people get angry at God and fall away and curse God. And if you keep your eyes on the circumstances and not on God's promises, then you're not going to understand who God is. You're not going to believe who God is and who he says he is through his word. You're not going to believe that. But God wants you to keep your eyes focused on him. Jesus wants you to keep your eyes focused on him. The Holy Spirit wants you to stay listening to him no matter what circumstances come into your life, no matter what sickness comes into your life, no matter how far your children stray away from what you've taught them. You need to keep your eyes and your ears and your heart focused on the Lord, and that is how then that you know God is, that you must believe that God is. And when you pray to God, you know that he hears you. No matter what you see with your eyes, you know God hears you, and so you have a confidence and a boldness about you that you can know when you pray, God hears your prayers. If you're walking with the Lord, that God hears your prayers and that he is acting on your behalf in response to your prayers. He is acting on your behalf. He sent his angels to war over the problems in your life, to war over the demons in your children, to war over the demons in your own life. And so he is who he says he is. And you have to not waver from that conviction. You have to believe that with all your heart, strength, and mind, and soul, that God is who he says he is, and he is for you. He is not against you. He hears your every prayer. He hears your every cry. He holds the tears that you have shed in his hand, and he knows everything about you. Cast all your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He loves you very much. And he sent his very own son to die for you on the cross, to shed his precious blood for you, that you could know God for all eternity, that you could know Jesus Christ for all eternity, that you could have salvation and assurance of salvation, and you would not have to waver. You would not have to be deterred or fall away or get angry at God every single time something happens in your life that is not a favorable thing from your natural point of view. And God will bless you when you are steadfast in your love for him, when you are steadfast in your service and your devotion to him. He will bless you beyond anything that you can imagine. And that's the last part of this scripture. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I spoke to you earlier in this message that the blessings will be for you when you step out in faith. The blessings will be for you, not only for the kingdom of God, but the blessings will be for you individually when you step out in faith. I'm going to tell you a little story just about the radio broadcast that I started back about 11 years ago, and I knew that there was an open door that God had opened for me to speak on the radio, and I was in agreement with that. I prayed about it, and God said, go ahead, and so I opened up the radio broadcast back in 2005, and I was thinking it was going to be really simple to get donations from the listening audience. I'd heard David Jeremiah and some of these other famous preachers on the radio, and I thought, well, this would really be simple to get the support and to get the donations to come in through the radio broadcast. Well, after about the first 3 months that I've been on the radio, I owed the radio station about $500, and I hadn't received one single check yet from any listener. And so I was a little bit perplexed about that, and I prayed and I fasted, and I said, okay, Lord, I knew this was your idea. I knew that you wanted me to go onto the radio and share the good news of the gospel, and I knew that the door that you opened for, on this radio station was from you. And so, Lord, I have stepped out in obedience. I've stepped out in the answer to that call, and I prayed and fasted about it for a couple of days, and sure enough, before that week was over, I got a check in the mail for about $400, and it took care of about 90% of that bill. And so when you step out in faith and you are doing the will of God and you're walking in His will and you are exercising your faith, God always blesses you. God always strengthens your faith and expands it and enlarges it. And I've been blessed to be able to keep this radio broadcast going by the grace of God now for 11 years, and have always been able to pay the bills for it. And I have expanded the broadcast even to Kansas City at times, and also now we're on the air in Pensacola, Florida. And so God has blessed it, and He has rewarded me for diligently seeking Him, and He has rewarded me for stepping out in faith with that first broadcast. And I wasn't much on the IT end of it, the production end of it, but God has taught me how to do that, and given me people to walk along beside me to take care of the production part and the IT part. And so when you step out in faith, the point that I'm making is God will reward you, and He will bless you, and He will strengthen you. He will enlarge your territory, and He will see to it that all of your needs are met. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, beloved, if you never have sought the Lord, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is the first step of faith, that you come out of the unbelieving world and you come into that believing world. You come into that place of salvation, that first step, when you say, Jesus, I trust you by faith. I trust you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to bless my life, and I repent of my sins. That's the first step in your faith walk, is to come out of that unbelieving world and just trust Jesus, that His promises that He has for you in His holy word are yes and amen, and that His promises are meant for you. They're not just meant for your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, or your children. They are meant for you. The healing is meant for you. The deliverance is meant for you. The breaking of the chains and the bondages that you're in, that is meant for you, and you have to step out in faith. That is a faith walk. Everything in the Christian walk is obtained by faith and by asking. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And so there's three levels of asking. You first, you ask, and then you seek, and then you find, and the door then shall be opened for you. The door into the kingdom of God, the door into the greater mysteries of the kingdom. And God wants to use you. He wants to put your feet on a firm foundation and pick you up out of the miry clay. It doesn't matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you're engaged in today or what is taking you down today. When you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes to the call of Jesus on your life, and you come out of that unbelieving world and you confess Jesus' name before men, then Jesus said, yes, I will forgive your sins, I will bless you, and I will cover you with my blood, and your sins, which were as scarlet, are now going to be as white as snow. And so that is the first step of faith. And as you do that, as you move forward, then God will continue to open doors for you. He will continue to show you where He wants you to go and what He wants you to do in the kingdom of God, what His perfect will is for your life. And so as you do that, then God will expand your territory, and He will encourage you and strengthen you in your Christian walk. Well, beloved, it is a pleasure to bring these messages to you. We are a listener-supported radio broadcast. I have contact information coming up here at the end of this broadcast. We're soon going to be in Africa. I'm taking a team of five with me over there, first to Kenya, and the team will be working at the Living Water Orphanage site. If any of you are listening to this broadcast and you want to go to Africa, there's still time for you to sign up and time for you to get on the plane with us and spend 2 weeks at the Living Water Orphanage site in West Kenya. And then from that point, the team is going to be coming back to America, and I will be flying on to Burundi and to Congo and then back to Kenya to preach crusades. I'll be preaching a total of 4 crusades this summer, 3 days each, so I'm going to be doing a lot of preaching, and I'm going to need your prayers. I ask you to keep me lifted up in prayer, and prayer for safety, prayer for strength of my body, and strength in my walk. And as you keep me lifted up, then you will be a part of this ministry. You'll be engaged in seeing the people saved and people brought out of that unbelieving world by the grace of God. We're going to see many salvations, many healings, and many miracles and deliverances. And so I ask you to keep us lifted up in prayer. And we'll be coming back then in October from Africa and from the crusade tours. We have a book offer for you, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa, for a donation of any amount. So stay tuned for contact information, and we'll get this book into your hand. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week, and have a great week.